You know, clearly we truly have an assault on the Second Amendment rights coming both from the president and from the governor. And we're going to talk about the federal bills. I'm pretty sure we're going to have a couple of folks from the state delegation brief everybody on what's going on in Annapolis. But this really, in my mind, has to be all hands on deck, because this is a this kind of assault at both the federal and state level is something we haven't seen in my lifetime here in Maryland.
No, not at all. And I think part of the reason is it just hasn't been palatable to the American people for decades. And then obviously the horrific situation in Newtown sort of, you know, reignited this debate. What do you, and let's just focus on you know, federally for right now. Do you think anything comes out of this? I mean, you know, you're beginning to, or the president's beginning to lose some of the traction from what happened in Newtown. He was in Chicago yesterday trying to, you know, sell the message to the American people again. He, you know, he obviously brought it up numerous times in a State of the Union address. Do you think anything actually happens as far as comprehensive gun?
Well, I have to tell you, when the president goes to Chicago, which has some of the toughest gun control laws in the nation and one of the highest murder rates,
right?
You know, it's almost we live in a parallel universe. You know, that ought to be someone going there for the purpose of showing how gun control laws don't work. Instead, the president somehow thinks that that's an appropriate place to go show how gun control laws do work. But I think you don't fool the American people. I think they realize that that's not at the root of the problem. Restricting our liberty is not going to be a solution. At the federal level, I think the assault weapons ban and the limiting the size of magazines, you know, how many rounds they can hold, I just don't think that has any traction at all. I do have some concern, and that's one of the reasons I'm going to be holding this town hall meeting today, is to hear what people think about expanding the background check.
Right.
Look, in Maryland, it's not going to affect us because we already have it. We already have a background check that is completely universal. I mean, every transfer of a regulated firearm has to have a background check. They're talking at the federal level of maybe even just making it just gun shows, so private transfers at gun shows, which wouldn't even be as restrictive as ours.
And not to cut you off, Congressman, but I want to focus on that, because that gets lost in the conversation. In Maryland, there is no gun show loophole.
Oh, absolutely not.
Right. Right.
Absolutely not. And like I say, it is the strictest interpretation of no gun show loophole, which is that no regulated firearm can, even if we meet outside a gun show, we have to go through a licensed dealer or the state police.
Which then begs the question, what is Governor O'Malley really trying to do here?
Oh, he is trying to build up his liberal credentials to run for president.
Looking at,
I'll be honest.
Well,
this has nothing to do with controlling violence, because if he wanted to, they ought to go into Baltimore City, again, some of the strictest gun control laws in the state with a high violent crime rate, and figure out, you know, how to solve the problem in Baltimore.
I get that he's trying to align himself with liberal leadership in Washington, D.C. I think that he has the credentials at the state level to do that. I think the gun issue is counterintuitive to his run in 2016. I mean, if I'm the governor, I'm going to be touting, you know, to be one of the first states to support gay marriage, of the DREAM Act surviving referendum. I mean, that's the story I would be telling. I wouldn't be touching this gun thing with a 10-foot pole.
Well, but he has to, because he has to win a primary. And this is an open seat. This will be a hotly contested Democrat primary. He may have to run against Hillary Clinton. In fact, I would say it's likely. If she's healthy, I think she's going to be the one of the leading nominees.
Well, I do, too. So if she runs, that's not even a horse race. I mean, worst case scenario, he's got to go against Biden.
I mean, although Joe Biden... That'd be interesting, Martin O'Malley and Joe Biden. But I've got to tell you, that would just be interesting.
It'll make for two good years of radio, that's for sure.
That's right. So for these 4 years, what he is doing now is he's not seeking to just get an A with all these groups.
Right.
You know, the coalition, the liberal coalition that he will need to win the nomination, he wants an A++. So he's not just talking about civil union. He didn't talk just about civil unions or something. He talked about gay marriage. He didn't talk about, we're going to do on immigration. We're just going to keep where we are in Maryland. You know, as a sanctuary state.
Right.
We're actually going to go to paying in-state tuition for illegal immigrants
right.
With gun control. We're just not talking about doing universal background checks. We're talking about fingerprinting law-abiding citizens who want to exert their Second Amendment right. I mean, this kind of excites liberals. You know,
sure.
Gosh, we're going to fingerprint gun owners. You know, my gosh, yeah, the, you know, we think they're all potential criminals anyway, so they ought to be fingerprinted. I mean, this excites a liberal. Now, to me, it scares me. But to his base that he's going to need to lock up a nomination for president, he needs an A++. You know, from the Brady group, group to prevent handgun violence, like, you know, the counterpart of the NRA, you know, an A is not going to be good enough.
Well, and speaking of the NRA, do you think that they're kind of becoming counterproductive against their mission? I mean, I believe that the NRA feels like the president isn't necessarily negotiating in good faith, and that's sort of why you've seen them shut down. But when you see Wayne LaPierre, you know, it sort of changing his stance on universal background checks and really not being receptive to anything that the president has to say, you are seeing NRA members that are beginning to, you know, separate themselves from the NRA. Do you think that, and again, Congressman, I understand kind of why they're taking the stance that they are. They just, again, they feel like they're not negotiating in good faith. But the fact that they come across from a rhetoric standpoint as being open or receptive to nothing, are they hurting their own cause here?
Well, I agree with you to some extent, and that's exactly why I want to hear from, again, that's why I'm holding town hall meetings on gun control, because we're going to get a lot of NRA members there today, I'm sure. And I want to hear from them what they think, but I will tell you, the sad fact in Maryland is, again, you know, and this never, liberals never have to worry about telling you the truth or, you know, the inconvenient truths, but in Maryland, they have never been reporting adequately the because there are people who under mental health provisions in federal law cannot and should not pass a background check.
Sure.
Maryland ranks among the lowest states in its reporting to the federal government that information.
The mental health aspect of this. I'm sorry. Continue. I'm sorry.
In fact, do you know how many names have been submitted to the NICS from Maryland as unable to mental health is very unfortunate, but there are a lot of cases of it. There are a lot of people in Maryland who are not qualified to own a gun based on mental health. 64 cases have been reported from Maryland to the federal background check registry. So, you know, here the governor comes out, and he fully supports the president's expansions. He wants to expand things in the state, and for the past 6 years, he has presided over one of the worst records of any state in the nation, in complying with the requirements to report to the federal system so that the federal background check is adequate. And I got to tell you, I'm reticent to expand the federal background check until we make sure that all the states are reporting data and that they have the information they need to do a fair background check.
The mental health aspect
and
of this,
background check.
Yeah, the mental health aspect of this, it needs to be dealt with. It's definitely a serious problem. But it concerns me because when you talk about mental health, it is so subjective. And
absolutely,
you look at the Pandora's box that you're opening with that, especially with the executive orders that the president has already signed, on where basically he's deputizing, doctors where they need to report information.
Yep.
But, you know, again, I hate to use the term slippery slope, but it's scary to think of where that leads down the road.
It's very slippery, and we don't need to imagine. Again, you know, my parents came from communist countries. The way the Eastern European communist countries controlled their opponents was to declare them mentally ill and send them to a mental hospital that looked just like a prison.
Right.
And they had sentences in a mental hospital. That's exactly how you control your opponents. You say there's something wrong with the way they think. And if people don't think this is possible, just think about what the discussion going on some of the other things. You know, if we don't agree... and I'll take one. If we don't agree that same-sex marriage shouldn't be endorsed by the state, we are bigots, and under hate crime laws, we can be prosecuted.
Absolutely. Shifting back
to something we think,
right?
Which is pretty frightening. Which is a pretty frightening thought.